What is going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 56 of the Strength Through Vulnerability podcast. Let's get into it. Welcome to another episode. It is so good for you to all be back with me. I am bringing to you an interview with an amazing guy. He's a journalist, an advocate for the disabled, and somebody who himself lives with cerebral palsy, Kevin McShann. Oh, not to mention, he also runs his own podcast, a really, really good one called Let's Have This Conversation. You know, I've had a chance to talk to this guy three times, I believe, and every single time that I do, I leave feeling enlightened. I leave feeling loved and just energetic. He's got great energy. He is an amazing podcast host himself. It was a pleasure. I had the opportunity to go on his show, which was super fun. And it was just really an honor to have him come on my show this time. And so we talk about a bunch of really important things. We talk about his story, his life, how living with cerebral palsy has impacted him. We talk about what he believes are the biggest challenges and barriers in getting disabled people into employment. We also talk about something else that he's incredibly passionate about, which is the belief that inclusion is the gateway to independence. And really, we talk about so much more. It was an incredibly fun conversation. I think you all are going to love it, and it's coming at you right now. Kevin, it's so good to be talking to you again, man. How are you?
Tommy, I'm fantastic, and I'm delighted to be with you this afternoon. So great to see you again, and thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's so good to see you too. For the listeners out there, Kevin's got his own podcast called Let's Have This Conversation, and I had the privilege of being a guest on there. We had a super fun time chatting. So right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, go check out his podcast. It's fantastic. Kevin, you do a great job.
Oh, well, thanks for the shameless plug, and thanks for listening. It's a lot of fun, a lot of work, but I have a lot of interesting conversations. So thanks for the plug, and thanks for being a guest. I'm happy to return the favor this afternoon.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to talk more about the show later, but to get us started, could you tell the folks, the listeners, a little bit about who Kevin McShann is?
Sure. So I am 31 and a half years old. My birthday's coming up in exactly 2 months from Sunday. So yeah, I'm 31. I have what's called spastic quadriplegia cerebral palsy. It just simply means that I don't have enough oxygen in my legs to walk normally. So it affects things like my muscle memory, muscle movement, and muscle dexterity. I have a degree in journalism. I'm the host of Let's Have This Conversation. I've also spent my entire adult life, I know we're going to get into this later, but advocating on behalf of people with disabilities for the right for inclusion and equality for them when it comes to the realm of employment. I'm a huge Detroit Lions fan. Sadly, this year, I'm a suffering Michigan Wolverines fan, just like you. And yeah, that's my life in a nutshell. So I love journalism and meeting new people. And the reason I got into journalism was because I wanted to share the stories of people who didn't necessarily have a platform to share them themselves. So there's my story in 60 seconds or less. There you go.
That was very well done. And Kevin, you have such a big heart. I love the energy that you walk around with. You're always just so full of joy. And when you're sharing all the different things that you do, there's so much heart and meaning and purpose behind all of them. And it's just really cool to see. You inspire me, and you're inspiring a lot of people out there. So I'm just, I'm glad you're here doing what you're doing.
Well, yeah, thanks for the compliment and thanks for the kind words. But I simply tell people that I live my life just like everybody else. And if I inspire people, that's icing on the cake. But the way I look at it is we're all given a platform to make a measurable difference. And it's all incumbent upon all of us to determine how we're going to make a measurable difference. I have dedicated my time on earth to inclusion and equality for people with disabilities. And any time that I'm able to open up that platform for other people to get on the bandwagon, I'm always happy to do that. So
that's fantastic. And let's dive into that a little bit more. So as you've said a few times, like, you do a lot of work to advocate for the disabled when it comes to employment. I would love to hear more about your experience growing up with a disability. So before we're getting into talking about what it's like to try to get into the workforce, what was that experience like for you as a child?
I never was missed in a crowd because I rode around life, and I still do when I leave my house in an electric wheelchair. But I'll share this story with you. It was seventh or eighth grade. I don't remember the year, but I was struggling to sort of come to terms with the fact that I had a disability. And then I was called down to the principal's office because they could see that I was struggling to accept that because I had recently come back from London, and the doctor told my parents that I had completed my last surgery and there was probably and nothing more they could do for me from a medical perspective, and then that we were going to have to prepare for a life that would require me to use a walker and probably never be able to walk. So it was a difficult part of my life, but I also learned through a lot of support and encouragement from a lot of different people that life is what you make of it. It's 90% of the circumstances that you create rather than the circumstances that are created for you. So I always tell people that inclusion is the gateway to independence. And what that means is that the more doors that we open for people, the more quality that we can spread across all sectors of life. So that's sort of how I view life and a little bit about my personal story as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that, Kevin. And, I love what you have to say. You have gone through hardships and faced adversity, and yet you're still out there doing what you're doing and helping other people who are in similar positions as you to know that they're not alone, which is so much of what this Strength Through Vulnerability podcast is all about. So it's just a beautiful thing to see you use your gifts, your challenges, whatever word you want to use there, to help other people. And I love how real you were with the fact that there was a period of time where you were struggling to accept the reality of your situation. I just put up a short video on Instagram the other day about the importance of acceptance and how it takes accepting your situation in order to really move forward, to take action and do something. And I would love to, you talked about the encouragement and the love of close friends and family, but there also is an element of you need to take control of the situation. You need to have that mindset switch of, okay, I'm accepting my situation. I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to live a life of joy despite having cerebral palsy in your example. What did it take for you to make that mindset switch?
Well, I view life through a different prism than everybody else. And I think that rather than dwell on my circumstances, I make my circumstances work for me. And I think one of the things that has gotten me through life is I hate people who make excuses. Mm-hmm. Everybody in life has circumstances, and every person in life has a different way of navigating through life. And I think that for me, okay, I ask myself these three questions every time I want to accomplish a goal? What are my resources? What are my time frame? What's my time frame? And what's my expectation? And I think that if you can answer those three questions, goal setting in life is easy. So for me, it's never accepting the fact that excuses are built in, and it's always looking to break down those barriers, whether it be through inclusion, acceptance, vulnerability, as you do through this podcast, which I think is tremendously important, because I think the biggest thing, especially for guys, okay, the biggest thing for guys is to always accept the fact that it's okay to be vulnerable, and it's okay to express your thoughts, feelings, and opinion. And I'd rather be an open book about my disability and living life than being sheltered or timid in the fact that wanting to share aspects of my life that may inspire other people and to reach their fullest level of potential. So that's pretty much how I view life and overcoming obstacles.
I think that's fantastic. You said so many good things there. You know, right at the end, you were talking about how it's powerful to use vulnerability, and how, especially in men, that's a hard thing to kind of grasp and understand. I think you're 100% correct. When you take your circumstances and you just view yourself with pity and not accept where you're at, what your challenges are, what your situation is, then you're basically paralyzing yourself. You're not allowing yourself to reach your fullest potential. But when you grasp and accept those challenges, your current circumstances, that gives you power. That allows you to make an impact like you're doing. Had you not accepted your situation, you wouldn't be doing the amazing things that you do today. One of them being advocating for those who are also disabled to have places, have positions in the workplace. So I just think it's brilliant. And I'm really glad that you put it that way.
Well, thanks for that. And I think that advocating for, especially for employment, right, is essentially important for people with disabilities, because when you give someone with a disability a job, you do a couple of things. Besides giving them financial independence and freedom, you also give them a sense of self-worth, dignity, and respect for themselves and the process and product of living, right? Because we all want to contribute to societal living, and you don't want to be pigeonholed into accepting circumstances because you have a disability. I always tell people there's no 50% off sale when you have a disability, right? It's not like you're born and then you go shopping for a disability that you want to have for the rest of your life, right? So there's no bargain when you have a disability. So it's always important to just acknowledge your circumstances and how it affects you emotionally, psychologically, and mentally. But it's also important to acknowledge that you have a different vehicle or platform to deliver the message. So that's the essence of the message that I try to deliver to people each and every day when I have a chance to speak with them.
I think that's so good. And Kevin, when it comes to your work advocating for those with disabilities for employment, what do you find is the biggest challenge in this area, or maybe biggest challenges in this area right now?
Yeah, there are a couple of things. I think education for business leaders and positive benefits of hiring people with disabilities. And I think access to opportunity. And what I mean by that is when we look at when you go through a normal college and high school experience, you have co-op and internship opportunities. For people with disabilities, depending on the disability and the field of interest that you want to go into, sometimes finding a co-op or a suitable internship is difficult because business people don't want to take on the liability of someone with a disability. But when they dive into the numbers, statistics tell us from the Ontario Chamber of Commerce that the when to hire people with disabilities, they're 75% more likely to exceed the expectations that you set out for them, and then that accommodations for people with disabilities cost less than $500. So it's not 80% of those accommodations cost less than $500. So it's not terribly difficult to accommodate people with disabilities because they're their own best advocates, right? So it could be as simple as the raised height of a desk, the use of assisted software or headphones or headsets when we're talking about accommodation. So I'd like to answer your original question, it's access to opportunity, it's education of business owners, and once you give them the opportunity, then transforming that message into actually hiring them and then infusing them into the workforce as well.
That's so good and so interesting. And, you know, there are business leaders and executives who are going to listen to this show, and I think that you sharing that, especially with statistics to back it up, is so helpful. It's gonna educate them about what it's like to hire a person with disabilities. Like you were saying, one of the biggest pieces is the educational aspect of this situation. Beyond this podcast, what do we need to do? What can we do to help drive this education into these businesses? Get these statistics into these organizations?
You know, it's funny you should ask that. Last month was actually National Disability Employment Awareness Month. And I love October for that reason. But I also believe that the conversation about months like this has to continue beyond the good for business moniker about wanting to do it. It's about transforming the desire into actual action and to provide opportunities for people with disabilities that they may not already have, and giving them access, as I said earlier. I tell people that inclusion is the gateway to independence, but it also opens up the floodgates of opportunity for people with disabilities. Because when you include people with disabilities in a workforce, you get increased morale, lower attendance, and higher productivity, and lower turnover, because people with disabilities want to prove that they can do the work, right? So it's a win-win, and not only for the morale part of a business, but also because it also provides them with increased levels of productivity as well.
I think that's really well said, Kevin. And you said something brilliant that I wanted to touch on today, is something that's your moniker on, for those listeners out there, there's this platform called Matchmaker, which is a funny name, but basically it's this platform for podcast hosts to get connected.
It's dating for podcasters, right?
Yeah, exactly. Dating for podcasters. Now, and on Kevin's profile, his moniker is, "I passionately believe inclusion is the gateway to independence." And you just used it really well in your response. I would love for you to expand upon what you mean by that, because from, you know, just looking at it really quick, it almost looks like an interesting dichotomy. How does inclusion lead to greater independence?
Well, I think inclusion being the gateway to independence is a moniker that I've lived by all of my life, not only for employment reasons, but for societal reasons. People with disabilities have talents and expectations for their own lives. We set goals just like everybody else. And I think when we talk about, when I'm passionate about inclusion, it's because everyone has a platform and everyone has a story and skills to share with the world. So I think inclusion being the gateway to independence is giving each and every one of us, regardless of if we have a disability or not, the platform and ability to share our talents and gifts with the rest of the world. So I think when we circle it back to people with disabilities, it's providing them a sense of empowerment, really, and providing them a sense of dignity and self-respect, because people with disabilities want on to be able to express themselves in all aspects of life, and certainly employment is the biggest one. But we also looked at things like social inclusion and being included in social settings and building up the confidence of people with disabilities, because some of them are going to be vulnerable and not going to want to share the fact that they have a disability because they want to fit in. You know, Tommy, all disabilities aren't visible, right? Some are invisible disabilities, and some of them are cognitive disabilities, and some you don't be able to see. So I think when we look at inclusion, what I tell people is not to rush to judgment, but to rush to the opportunity to extend a hand of support, acceptance, and inclusion in all aspects of life. Because once we age, right, Tommy, we all have some sort of a disability, but people with disabilities have an earlier start to the inevitable part of aging, because it'll happen for each and every one of us eventually. But I think being vulnerable when we talk about inclusion is important, because the more information you tell people upfront about a disability, I've always felt the faster the track you are and to be put on a track of inclusion, both from a societal and employment perspective as well.
I think that's incredibly well said. When people find out that they're not alone, that they're not the only ones who have gone through this, or they're not the only ones with a disability, or whatever it is, they are, to use your words, empowered to be more of their individual self. They are empowered to be more of who they really are. I think you put that brilliantly, Kevin. So thank you for doing so.
You're welcome. Yeah, I think it's also important to also provide avenue of latitude for expression and communications with people with disabilities. Some people with disabilities are some of the most resourceful people you're going to meet. So by extending an olive branch of friendship, you open up several gateways of opportunities, not only for the person with a disability, but it also allows the other person or people to open up a pathway of personal development that they may not necessarily open on their own. So it's a win-win situation in that perspective as well.
Absolutely. And to go along with your you saying that sometimes people with disabilities are the most resourceful people out there, there's a guy who I've interviewed on this podcast named Dylan Rafferty, and he's very similar to you. Yeah, you connected with him, right?
I interviewed Dylan. He's a very resourceful, intelligent, and very well-spoken individual. And Dylan is doing great work with See Here, and it was a privilege to interview him. And I even used parts of his interview for a motivational speaking appearance that I made virtually at our local college here in Windsor. So Dylan's a great guy, and enjoy the discussion with him as well.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I was going to say both of you guys are so resourceful and are so passionate about really making an impact. So it's just really cool to see. And Kevin, I would love to dive in a little bit about your experiences with getting into the workforce as somebody with disabilities. What was it like? You see the challenges from trying to help other people. What was it like for you?
So I'll give you a very direct story, Tommy. Graduated college in 2010. I spent 4 years as a volunteer television reporter for a local television station. Spent 4 years volunteering, and it wasn't until 2014 that I got my first paying job. I had advocated on behalf of people with disabilities for a long time, and I had applied for work and through my journalism background and was denied, partly because I had a disability, and partly because I didn't, as going back to earlier, I wasn't afforded a proper and journalistic internship, which I think really set me back in seeking employment. But then I pivoted to use my communications background to advocate for people with disabilities. So my first job was working for the Ontario Trillium Foundation and the Assisted Living Southwestern Ontario organization here in Windsor on a project called We Are Able. And the project was aimed at providing business owners the necessary information they need to be they needed for the positive benefits of hiring people with disabilities. Through that work, we were able to the project ran for 13 months. I was one of three program facilitators that helped to get 28 people hired through 30 community presentations. Through that work, I was then afforded the opportunity to become the regional ambassador for a project here in Ontario called the Discoverability Network. And I always call it the eHarmony of dating. And what it is it's you go on the website and you create a profile. And if you're a job seeker with a disability, you're matched with an employer who's looking to hire someone with a disability. And obviously, if you're an employer, it works the opposite way. During the 11 months that I worked on that project, I was able to connect 70 people with work. And then I also connected the network with 15 local employers. And through that opportunity, I spent the last 9 months or so at the YMCA of Windsor and Essex County. I left that job because I wanted to pursue some other opportunities. All of my professional work has been helping people with disabilities find work. I also hosted a podcast called the Two Man Advantage podcast with a couple of friends from college. We conducted over 300 interviews in the five years we ran the podcast. And then I pivoted to my own podcast. And then I was also supposed to take over the Discoverability Network again, but because of the pandemic, actually, that contract got suspended. So I again took the opportunity to better equip myself from a journalistic perspective, and I started Let's Have This Conversation, which I started in May of this year, has over 100,000 views and over 3,000 subscribers. So right now I'm actually in between jobs. So I'm actually looking for my next opportunity, and I'm using the platform as an extension of an updated resume as well.
That's fantastic, Kevin. And thank you for being so raw and real about the realities of your situation when you just graduated college. To have to go 4 years before getting a paying job must have been incredibly difficult. But to see all the things that you've done in the midst of that time, but also since, is incredible. That's so cool, man.
Well, yeah, we only have one life to live. And what I always tell people is, what are they going to do to maximize themselves to their fullest potential? So I try to lead by example in that sense as well.
Absolutely. I think that's so good. And towards the end of what you were talking about, you spoke about how you started the Let's Have This Conversation podcast. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. You talk about so many different things on there. It's really, really cool. I have some notes. Like, you talk sports, business, technology, fitness, lifestyle, politics. With me, it was mental health and vulnerability. So many different things, which are so interesting. And it's really cool that you have the ability to talk to people from so many different backgrounds of so many different interests and interview them so well. What was the driving force for you to start that podcast?
Do you want me to be perfectly honest with you?
Please, go ahead.
I was bored of watching Netflix in quarantine.
Hey, that's so real. I respect that, and I definitely get that.
And I wanted, there's only so much Netflix you can watch in a day, right? Mm. So I wanted a way to expand my journalism diversity, and a way to selfishly update my resume so that I could accelerate my next career opportunity. So that's sort of how the podcast started. I'm happy with the work that we've done through it, and I'm hoping, as I said earlier, that it leads to my next career opportunity and exploration as well.
I love it. I'm sure it will. And to be able to, in such a short period of time, have over 100,000 views or listens and 3,000 subscribers is a really amazing feat. So good for you, man. You're doing good stuff.
Yeah. And I think for any podcasters or inspiring podcasters out there, I would say two things about that. Always be open to networking with a wide variety of people. Be active on social media. And I would also say this in moderation. If you have the means to do it, don't be afraid to pay for a little bit of advertising, because the way you get your message out there is by advertising what you have to say. And when people ask me about podcasting, I always tell them that it's a saturated market, right? Everybody has a podcast. It's like writing a book. Every time you go on TV, you want to promote a book, right? Or you want to promote a cause. Well, having a podcasting platform is like having your own marketing agency, right? You have to be your own best marketer. So I would say, don't be afraid to network, and don't be afraid, if it's within your means, to pay for a little bit of advertising, as long as you do your research and the appropriate resources are spent for the right marketing opportunity.
Absolutely. I think that's really well said and super smart. You're a wise man. Kevin, as we start to wrap up, I've been asking a few questions to people to end each episode, which are really fun for me and hopefully fun for you too. And the first one is probably pretty easy. If you were to leave the listeners with one message, whether it's something that you've explicitly said in this podcast or not, what would that be? What do you want them to walk away from listening to this with?
Be open to acceptance of all people, regardless of age, background, experience, or social status. I think that we all have stories that deserve to be told. And I think, especially in today's climate, Tommy, everybody's so quick to determine their opinion before listening to all sides of an argument or before they want to demonstrate loyalty to a particular side instead of trying to find the center of an issue instead of only leaning to one side or the other. So my parting message would be open to inclusion of all people, regardless of all backgrounds, because you never know where people come from, and you may be able to learn something from them as well.
I think that's fantastic. And I completely agree. And Kevin, how would you, in your own words, define vulnerability?
The ability to be open, to be honest, to be open to constructive criticism. I think the greatest thing about vulnerability is it gives us an avenue to be taught a lesson of knowledge. So what I mean by that is, if you're vulnerable and you're open to new experiences, and being able to push your own comfort zone, it allows you a better opportunity to grow and prosper as a person.
Completely agree. That's fantastic. Kevin, the very last question for you today, it's a fun one, at least for me. What is your favorite food?
My favorite food, that's a fabulous question. apple. Now, do you want a healthy food? Do you want something?
Oh, your favorite food. It doesn't need to be healthy.
Can I? I'll answer that question, but I have to tell you, I may be the first person that you interview that absolutely hates pizza and ice cream. Wow. Can't stand either one.
Wow, no way.
The thought of pizza doesn't do it for me.
You're a rare man.
I'm not a huge fan of cake either. So I'm going to give you a very quick story. So I have an identical twin brother. And obviously we have the same birthday. And my parents skated every year on birthday cake because I didn't like it. And my brother, he's more into fitness now, so it doesn't apply now. But when we were younger, we never usually had birthday cake because I didn't like it. So I just wanted to share that with you. But my favorite food would have to be, I'll give you a couple. For dessert, my go-to is apple pie. For dinner, I'm a big fajitas guy. I love fajitas. Steak is also a winner in my book. I'm a fan of turkey. And I should tell you, with Thanksgiving about 10 days away, I also have family in America. So I get to do turkey twice a year, and I love it.
Wow.
So yeah, turkey, mashed potatoes is always a winner for me. Roast beef and roasted potatoes is also good. French toast and pancakes for breakfast, always a winner. But I wanted to share the pizza thing because I'm probably going to be the only person in the interview that despises pizza. So there you go.
You might be, but that's okay. And hey, all those foods that you listed off were still really good nonetheless. I love all those. So we're on the same boat. Kevin, before I let you go, can you please share with the listeners where they can find out more about you, the work you're doing, where they can listen to Let's Have This Conversation.
Yeah, so you can find it on YouTube. The podcast is also on Spotify. They can also just search me on YouTube and it comes up. They can find me on Twitter at McShan819 is my Twitter handle. They can also find me on Instagram at McShan81509, and those are probably the best ways to reach me, and I'm always responsive. They can also follow me on LinkedIn if they want to find out all of the work that I'm doing and continue to do to advance the conversation forward on a number of issues.
Fantastic. Kevin, thank you for sharing all that. Thank you so much for all the work you do and for coming on this show, sharing your heart and sharing your wisdom. Really means a lot to me, and I know the listeners will love it.
Hey, Tommy, just before we leave today, I want to thank you for having me, and I want to commend you on the message and purpose through your podcast. I think being vulnerable is a noble thing, and I also think raw emotion brings out the best of people, even if they don't realize it. So I want to commend you for the work that you do and providing people a platform to be so open, honest, and raw and vulnerable. And I want to thank you for having me today, buddy. Always great to see you. And let's do this again really soon, okay?
Yes, sir. Right back at you. Always great to see you. You take care. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. I really hope that you enjoyed hearing from Kevin McShan. He is just such a good man, and I highly encourage that you check out the work that he's doing with Let's Have This Conversation. He's having some really important conversations over there on that podcast, and you know, as somebody who was a guest on it, it was super fun. He's a great interviewer, asks great questions, so check him out. If you're looking for a way to support this podcast, please go to Apple Podcasts. You can leave a 5-star review, which really helps other people find the show. In fact, I'll just leave a link in the show notes to bring you directly to the Apple Podcasts page. And also, you can share it with your friends, your family, share it on social media so that other people can be a part of this thing. You know, in the description of what my podcast is all about, I say that strength through vulnerability is really a movement. And it's true. I want people to learn that vulnerability is really the key to so many of the things that we want in life. Deep connection with ourselves and with others, learning how to authentically be who we are. It all comes down to vulnerability. So the more that you share it, the more that people get to hear more about that message, they get to learn about that message, and then they get to become that message and carry it on to other people. So please play a part in that. I love you all. You are all amazing. And I hope that you all have a great weekend and a great week coming up. You all take care.